ओके स्टार्ट। जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी चन्न वल्लभ जय गिरवर धारी जय गोपी चन्न वल्लभ जय गिरवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यामिना तीरावन चारी यामिना तीरावन चारी जय राघव माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 ज्ञान कमल से ज्ञान शला के चक्षु तस्मै श्री जय विष्णु पद परमेश भक्ति सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जो ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जो निताय गौर प्रेमानंद नारायण नमस्कृत नरम चेव नरोत्तम देवी सरस्वती व्यासम नष्ट प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति नष्ट की। सो वी आर रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 7। सो प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी गुण आत्मन ऑफ द प्रोसेसर ऑफ पोजेसर ऑफ ऑल सुपीरियर क्वालिटीज ते यू अपी सर्टेनली गुणान द क्वालिटीज विमातम टू काउंट हितावितरमश्य हु हैज डिसेंडेड फॉर द बेनिफिट ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज के हु इसरी are able, asya of the universe, kalena, in due course of time, yae, by whom, va, or, vimita, counted, sukalpaye, by great scientist, bhupama sva, the atoms of an earthly planet, ki, in the sky, mihika, the particles of snow, dhivbhasa, the illuminations of stars and planets, gunata manas tepi gunam vimatum. Hitva tirnashyaka ishrishya kalena yarava vimita sukalpe bhupam savakhe mihika divbhasa. Nithashyake Ishrasya Kalena Yarva Vimita Sukalpen Bhupam Savakhe Mihika Dabhasya. Tirmashyak Ishrasya Kalena Yarva Vimita Sukalpe Bhupam Svayakhe Mihika Dabhasa. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of snow, perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars and the other luminaries. But among these learned men, who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended on the surface of earth for the benefit of all living entities? So, Srila Sanatana Goswami explained the Lord Krishna is Gunatma, the soul of all superior qualities, because He gives them life. For example, one may discuss in an abstract way such qualities as generosity, intelligence and mercy, but they come to life only when a living person exhibits them. Thus, Lord Krishna is Gunatma because He descends to the material world and re-establishes the religious principles by exhibiting all godly qualities Himself and inspiring them in others. A living entity who develops the transcendental qualities found in the Lord receives immeasurable benefit and eventually goes with the Lord back to His own abode, where all living beings are liberated and fully endowed with the transcendental nature.
Srila Sanatana Goswami further explains that the Lord manifests a specific spiritual quality for the benefit of each living entity. Since there are innumerable living entities within the confines of the material creation, the Lord manifests infinite qualities. Thus, every conditioned soul can appreciate the Supreme Lord in a particular way. The example is given here that even in the most learned scholars could someday count the particles of earth, snow and light, they will still fail to understand qualities of the Lord. In this example, earth, snow and light are progressively more subtle. Thus, it is to be understood that there is an increasing difficulty in counting their virtually infinite particles. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, great personalities like Lord Sankarsana actually have counted the number of atoms on the earth and even the molecules in the entire universe. Yet, even such a personality as Sankarsana, who has been continuously chanting the glories of Lord since time immemorial, has not even approached a final count of those glories. So Lord Krishna exhibits his most astonishing qualities during his childhood pastimes in Vrindavan, where he steals butter from the cowherd ladies, dances with his girlfriends and plays with his cowherd boyfriends as their most dear companion. Although appearing like ordinary human activities, such sublime pastimes embody Lord Krishna's immeasurable and innumerable beautiful transcendental qualities, which are the life and soul of pure devotee. So, we are reading here the 14th chapter, which is basically the prayers for Lord Brahma. So, how actually that started, when Lord Brahma was seeing each cowherd boys as a Vishnu Murthy, okay? So, each cowherd boys who are Krishna in themselves, they were like displaying the forearm form of Lord Vishnu, okay? The actual forearm form of Vishnu. In the Vaikuntha, all the living entities who lives there has a forearm form, okay? But what separates them from Lord Vishnu, okay? So there are two things. One, he has a Sivastaka sign, which is just like a white hair in the form of a lock. Okay, and then other is the Kasturba gem. So these two signs separate Lord Vishnu identity from the other living entities of the Vaikuntha Loka. So Lord Brahma was seeing all of them in this form, all of the cowherd boys. Okay, and then what he saw, the demigods, the other personalities, they are offering their prayers to him. And he saw that. And he also saw that, you know, the kala, you know, the karma, the sabhava, you know, sabhava means our nature, okay, they took the form of the deities and offering their prayers to those Vishnu forms. So he was astonished. All his 11 senses just get astonished, you know. So as a living entity, we are made of 8 material elements, you know. You all know what are 8 material elements. But Lord Brahma, the majority of that element or the component in his body is intelligence. Okay, so he is the most intelligent person. So that intelligent component is where his whole body is made of. He is very smart. But he was astonished. All his 11 senses got astonished. And then he just went into trance. He himself was thinking that I am just a firefly in this whole universe. He was thinking that is his position. What happened? The firefly, you know, it lit up, but it just lit up the area around it. Okay? So he's considering that the Supreme Personality is a sunshine. So when the sunshine happened, what happened? The light of the firefly is just insignificant. Doesn't make any sense. Okay? So he was astonished with that and then went into trance. Okay? And then he started offering, so he paid his obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, And then he did Abhishek with the tears of his eyes at his lotus feet. So, and then he started offering those prayers. So this chapter talks about the prayers. Before we go specific verses, it's very important for us to understand why we offer these prayers. There are many prayers in the Bhagavatam. We have seen that in different cantos. Why we offer these prayers? Okay. So sometimes prayers are offers, as we have seen in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, there are three modes of the material natures. So sometimes prayers are offered in these three modes. Okay. There's like a prayers in the mode of ignorance. So the best example is like Hiranyakashipu. You know, he offered a prayers to Lord Brahma. He was glorifying Lord Brahma, but at the same time, his mind, he's thinking that if I get those powers, I will like chastise those Vishnu devotees, or I will start killing people who are not worshipping me, or not considering me as a personality of Godhead. So those prayers are in the mode of ignorance. And then you take an example of Ravana. Okay. So he also got these powers from Lord Shiva through his prayers, but he was misusing those powers. Okay. So these are the prayers in the mode of ignorance. Okay. So these days you can see, you know, those different terrorists, different organizations, you know. So, you know, in the name of God, you know, they offer prayers, but the powers or whatever, they think that, you know, they get some powers and start killing people at different places around the world. So these are the prayers in the mode of ignorance. And the second is praying in the mode of goodness. Is basically people, you know, who prays, you know, some like for their well-being, you know, how they can get afflicted, or you know, how they can get money to, they can build the hospitals, they do different charities, so they offer prayers in the mode of passion so they can get more from what they have. The third is the prayer in the mode of goodness. Okay, so goodness means is the happiness, you know, for the welfare of the others. When you do the prayers in the mode of goodness, you are doing for the, you can just doing for the welfare of the others. Okay, a beautiful example is in India is Mother Teresa. Okay, so she was a lady from Eastern Europe, and then she has nothing. She's a poor lady, has nothing, no wealth, but she has inspired many. She thought that through her prayers, she started to help people in living in the orphans, okay, orphan peoples, you know, or childrens. And the childrens who are orphans, so she started helping them, you know, how I can, through prayers, she was thinking how I can get rid of their diseases and all those things, how can I uplift their life so they can do. Through her prayers, she has inspired thousands and millions of people. Different organizations are there that started because of her efforts. They are helping the different communities. So these are prayers in the mode of goodness. Okay, but you have to come to the mode of goodness before you move to the mode to the transcendental modes. Okay, so there are two types of transcendental modes. One is basically categories for impersonalists, and second is for personalists. Okay, so impersonalists offers prayers to get a liberation, the mukti, the moksha. Okay, and the personalists, you know, they offer prayers so they can go deeper into the devotional service of Supreme Lord. Okay, so there are four different elements in these prayers, and then I think we should focus more on that. There are four different elements when we offer these prayers. So one of the important elements, the first one is basically we glorify the Lord. Okay, the prayer should be always glorifying the Lord, and that's what Lord Brahma, in the first verse of this chapter, he was glorifying the different qualities, the different forms. Okay, then the features, he was just glorifying that Lord. So that is very important for us. When we offer the prayers, it should be glorifying. Okay, so Lord Brahma was glorifying the Lord, the Krishna was wearing the guna berries in her ears, you know, in his ears. He was wearing the pitambar cloths. And then he has the peacock feathers, he was glorifying the peacock feathers, he was glorifying the flower garlands. You know, this Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda has so many gems, okay, in their house. But still Krishna goes to the jungle and he wears the flowers which are made from the, which are he picked up from the forest, you know, from the different plants, different trees. So he always wears the florist flower. He doesn't have the gem earrings, he wears the earrings that the guna berries. Okay? So he was more like in a natural settings. Okay? So Lord Brahma was glorifying that. Okay? So in this way, you know, we should also glorify, you know, the chanting the holy name. Okay? The chanting the holy name, you know, we should always glorify. Okay? That, you know, the chanting the holy name doesn't require any education background, any social background. What it requires is simply you just chant from your heart. There is no qualification required for that. Okay, even the Brahmana who has 24 qualities, if he doesn't do the chanting of holy name, he cannot change himself what to speak of others. Okay, but even a Chanda, the lowest of the mankind, if he chants the glory of the holy name, he can be more qualified than a Brahmana. So that's the power of the holy name. No social background, no education, qualification. So what two things are required is this, is just do it with humility and gratitude. So that's very important. So first thing the Lord Brahma started glorifying the Supreme Personality of God. And then the second element in our prayers should be humility and gratitude. So it's very important that when we offer our prayers, the humility and gratitude should be there. And then it should be deeper, it should come from deeper within the heart, it should not be superficial. Okay? It should not be, you cannot become humble, you know, superficially. And then at the second thought or the second moment, you know, you just have anger comes in, you know. So it's not like a show. Okay? It should not be superficial. You take an example of Srila Prabhupada. You know, he was 69 years old. When he started the journey in 1965 with the 40 rupees, at the time it's $8, okay. He started his journey 13th August, Friday 1965. So on the Jaladuta, you know, so what you do? He don't know, he haven't went to the Western countries. He don't know what to do, 40 rupees, you know, what you do with $8 when you're going to a different country, which is highly Western countries, okay. The people are in a mode of ignorance. But on the Jaladuta, he was offering his prayers to Krishna. Out of the humility and the gratitude, he was offering prayers to the Krishna. And I'm sure that you have all heard about that prayers. Through that prayers, he did wonders. Krishna reciprocated in that way. So he reciprocated. He built temples, he travels around the world or globe many, many times. And he started that movement. And then we are sitting here through his mercy, chanting and glorifying the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So that's the power of humility and gratitude. So we should learn from Srila Prabhupada. So when we quote these examples, we should not imitate, but at least we follow the footsteps. You know? And so what Srila Prabhupada, through that we can learn that, you know, is always good to have prayers with humility and gratitude, but if there is no action, it's just a waste of time. The action has to be there. Srila Prabhupada didn't, you know, sit in a temple and then glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He performed actions. He came here, he built temples, built communities, and changed the life of the people. Okay? So in the many religions you can see that, you know, people offer different types of prayer, these prayers and but you know, it's all on the surface, superficial. Okay? Why? Because they don't go deeper into the essence of the prayers. What is the essence of the prayers? To develop a good character. Okay? That is the essence of the prayers. If the character is not developed, so it's all superficial. Okay? So many people around the world do that. Okay? If that doesn't transform the heart, then basically what is the use of the prayers? We are just praying it just for the sake of praying it. Niyamagara. We are not putting in our heart. We are not transforming that heart. If it had not get transformed, then how these qualities, humility and gratitude, will become? Okay, it's very hard to develop those qualities. So it's very important that we understand the essence, the correct development of these prayers. So we apply, we pray, we do the prayers, but we also bring those prayers in our actions, behaviors, characters, qualities. Otherwise you will just become a Brahmana with many qualities, but nothing, no character development. And then the third element, third elements in the criteria of prayers is basically that we pray for the benedictions. Okay? Benediction, okay? We pray for the benedictions, okay? This is the third element when we offer prayers. So, there is a difference between the prayers of a realized soul and prayers of an ordinary living entity, okay? So if you take an example of an ordinary living entity, what they pray, should I get a good marks? They pray for good marks, okay? But sometimes people who don't pray, they also get good marks, okay? They pray for money. But sometimes the atheist people, they don't do anything, but they are so wealthy, okay? So somebody pray for education and all those things. So what is the use of that? Even somebody, people who don't do anything, they get those things. So what is the use of having these prayers when you ask for any material benefits? You will get those benefits according to your past karmas. Whatever the past karmas are there, you will get it. Okay? So the prayers are for spiritual development. It's not for material enjoyment. Okay? Because that will put you deep down. You will not cross the ocean of this material ocean if you have a deep sense of attachment to these material opulences. You will circle around this ocean just drinking the salty water. You just do that. You circle around this ocean, you cannot cross it over. So it's very important. Sanatana Rupani, Sanatana Goswami. So what then these higher elevated souls, what they pray for? As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in his teaching, you know, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. What they pray? I don't want any wealth, okay? I don't want any good wife. So what I want is just the shelter. I don't want any liberation, okay? I just want to seek the shelter of your lotus feet, birth after birth, birth. That's what they offer these prayers, okay? And he further explains, so when you have a humility and these things, so then the further prayers in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he's asking that I should be a dust particle. You know, Lord Krishna has billions of dust particles, like decorated his lotus feet. So he's asking that I can be one of the dust particles at your lotus feet. Just give me that shelter, the dust particles of your lotus feet. So that should be the humility, the benediction we should ask for. So when Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first time, you know, Sanatana Goswami was a prime minister and then Rupa Goswami was a finance minister. So they have tremendous amount of wealth. But when they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first time, so what they did, they put a straw in their teeth. Okay? Straw in their teeth indicates the humility, that I am pretty low. It's a humility, okay? So I am pretty low, okay? So, and then they ask, they glorify. What they did when they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were glorifying him, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why it's very important. We understand from the first verse, we should always glorify. And then they said, you know, we don't have any qualifications. We have nothing. You just please give us your mercy. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wiping his tears when he saw such a state of these two humble persons. Okay? So basically, then they said, you know, don't now show too much humility to me. It will just dry me in tears and ecstasy. So just please stand up. Then he empowers them. So what is the result of that? when he offers the glorifications and prayers with these elements, then the Lord empowers you. They have wrote so many literatures, and we are reading them and trying to understand them after again and again reading them. So this is how Lord empowers them. Okay? And then the fourth element in these prayers should be forgiveness. Okay? We should always ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness of our ego, forgiveness of our laziness, forgiveness of our actions. So we should always seek forgiveness when we offer these prayers. And then we should always think about the positive aspects of the prayers, rather than, we should not think about what are the negativities we have or the things we have done in the past. We should never think about that. We should look at the positive aspects. So when we do that, then those qualities will ultimately come to us. Okay? As I said few times back, if you try to find fault in others, you always get those qualities in us. Okay? So it's very important that we just take out the negativity and look for the positivity. So it's very important. We take an example of Dhruva Maharaj. He was doing the prayers in the mode of passion. Okay? He was doing in the mode of passion. But suddenly he got the association of Narada Muni, and then he asked him to do these prayers, and he did those prayers with sincerity, with a humble heart. Okay, and then what happened? The Lord Krishna appears in front of him. Okay? And then as soon as he placed a conch on his head, he forgets what he was asking. He was asking for a kingdom, greater than great-great-grandfathers and all those things. He wants to, take a revenge, what has been done to him. But he forgets everything. He was just saying that I am just looking, praying for a broken glasses, pieces of the broken glasses. But still Krishna gave him the kingdom. And then you rule it, and you rule it according to the, he rule it with all devotions. So this is, you see how the transformations happen. So these four elements are very important in our prayers, and we should always try to understand these concepts, their meanings, otherwise it's just a superficial. The actions has to be there. So that's why the Lord Brahma, in this first verse of this chapter, he was glorifying the Supreme Personality of Lord. He was glorifying the different components or different items that Lord Krishna was wearing. Okay? And then he further said in those the other verses, basically he was saying that the Lord Krishna has a transcendental senses. Okay? That's what in his prayers, he was just highlighting those transcendental nature of his senses. Okay? A living entity, we have five different senses. Okay? We cannot eat from ears. Okay? We can only eat from mouth. But Lord Krishna, every day when we offer this bhoga, he take that offering through his eyes. So he was glorifying that. Okay? You can perform multiple activities from your senses. So that's why the other day I was telling, even the animals, animals, each animal has one strong senses. Like a deer has a strong senses, has a senses for sound. He has a strong senses. So when he hears the sound, he gets carried away with that. Okay? Similarly for fish, for elephant, but human have all five senses. And then they misuse it. Okay? They have all five senses. So it's very important that Lord Brahma is offering these prayers. Then if you go further up in those verses, then Lord Brahma is teaching us a few things. One of the things he's teaching us that you should not focus, if you want to go deeper into the devotional service, you should not focus on the jnana aspect of that. No, you should give up the philosophical speculations. Okay? So there's an example in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Leela, there was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was a Mayavadi philosophy. Okay? Okay? Mayavadi, you know, Mayavadi impersonalists, you know, Mayavadi, they don't, when they think that Krishna appears in this material world, it's basically a material element, okay? So it's a material form, it's not a spiritual form. So Mayavadi, he was a perfect Mayavadi and he was very good in Vedanta. Nobody can defeat him. And he was in the kingdom of King Pratap Rudra. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri, when he saw Lord Jagannath, he fell in ecstasy and he went into trance. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, he took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. And then for 7 days, he recited the Vedanta Sutra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just sat there, listened to him for 7 days, without asking any question. Then ultimately he was saying that, I have recited the whole Vedanta Sutra, you haven't asked me anything. Then he started speaking, okay, he is summarizing, he's basically the whole Vedanta Sutra is basically about the chanting and glorifying the Supreme Personality of God. So that transforms Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he became a great devotee. So that's why Lord Brahma in his prayers, he is just telling us that you should not focus on offering your prayers just to know or to do some philosophical speculation about the Supreme Person. Don't try to become a jnani. Okay? So the second thing he is teaching us that you should hear about Krishna. Through his prayer, he said that one should focus on hearing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So hearing is very important. Now sometimes people are busy this way, you know, I am so busy, I cannot sit in the class, I cannot hear. Okay? So we should encourage people to hear about the various pastimes, the glories of Lord Krishna. And that what Lord Brahma was focusing. You should focus on hearing. People should focus on hearing about Sri Krishna. Then only they can know that. But sometimes people don't have interest in hearing. Then what we should do? We should put them in services. When you put them in services, you know, they will develop some qualities and the taste for hearing will start. Unless you don't serve the servants of Vasudeva, the taste for hearing will not come. If you just keep, you know, acquiring this knowledge, but if you don't apply these things in actions, in your services, then basically, you know, the qualities will not manifest. The action has to be there. So you put them in service and through service the interest for hearing will come. And then Lord Brahma in this verse, he explains that, you know, one day or someday some scientists can count the number of particles. That's why as a scientist, you know, we can see these atoms through a pretty costly high resolution microscope. We can see these, we see these atoms every day, we see those particles. He's saying that, you know, one day it might come that we can count all the atoms, all the particles. But the qualities of Lords are so immense that you can just glorify them, but you can glorify only just few of them. They are unlimited. He gave the example of Lord Sankarsana. He has counted those elements, the molecules in this universe. But still, he is trying to figure out what are the other qualities that Krishna has. So it's very important. So there are three things that should be, from these prayers, we should understand. That's why Lord Brahma is offering to this cowherd boy, which is a Krishna in front of him. Three most important thing. So the one thing is that it doesn't matter when we are practicing this bhakti yoga, okay, or the process of devotion, it doesn't matter how much time it will take. It may take years, decades, life after life. But what we should have patience. This is very important. We should have patience. So when we are doing the devotion service, we should patiently do it. We should not expect that, you know, okay, I'm chanting for 10 years now, you know, I didn't see any transformation in me, I didn't see any mercy. The patience has to be there, okay? You just do your endeavors. We have seen, you know, in that whole Damodar Leela, you know, endeavors and efforts has to be there. Should not expect that, you know, things will transform. Okay? Sometimes we see, you know, some people come in the temple and their qualities and then attitudes, their characters manifest so fast. But this is the past karma. When you do your spiritual life, suppose you didn't finish your spiritual life, say you finish at 70%, in the next life, it will start from 71%. It doesn't start from scratch. So, we should start thinking that if somebody has changed the qualities, you know, go deeper into the consciousness or in Krishna consciousness, he progresses very fast, it's because of his past deeds. He was a devotee in the past life. Okay? So we should wait for the patience. You know, spiritual life is individual. Nobody else is going to do chanting for you. Spiritual life is personal. You have to develop those qualities, do the devotions, do whatever the spiritual activities, that's your personal. And you are the only one responsible for your spiritual life. Nobody else is responsible. You can take a guidance, you can take the other things, but everything has to come from within. Okay? You are responsible for that. So you have to wait for patience. And then the second important aspect is, while you are doing this, Lord Brahma is praying that when you are doing the devotion service, you will encounter so many problems, so many difficulties, so many obstacles. But you should not think that this is happening because I am doing the devotion service. You should not focus on that. You try to overcome those obstacles. Doesn't blame Krishna that he is responsible. You see, when the people, you know, everything goes fine, you know, this is all nice, when everything goes wrong, you know, God did that. Because he did that, you know, he just want to punish me. No. So that's what Lord Brahma is saying. We should not blame others for our miseries and problems. These miseries and problems are coming to us because of our pious karmas. Or the karma within this lifetime. It's because of that. If you start thinking about in that direction, then basically you can overcome these obstacles. Okay? You cannot blame others. So when you do these things, you are qualified to enter the kingdom of God. The third thing is, you know, you continue focus on hearing, chanting and glorifying the Lord, doing his services, okay, without any motivation, without any speculations. Okay, without any desire for liberations. If you do these three things, you are entitled to go, or qualified to go to the kingdom of God. It's not easy process. Many difficulties and obstacles will come. So when the obstacles come, that will test our spiritual strength, the deepness of our spiritual life. If we fall prey to those obstacles, we lose consciousness. Mind get agitated, disturbed, other bad qualities will manifest. But if we stay focused and overcome these obstacles, no, obstacles are always there. If there is no obstacles, then this is Vaikuntha. This is Kunta, no? If there is no obstacles, no disease, then this is Vaikuntha. So these obstacles Krishna is reminding us that you are still in this material world. But overcoming those obstacles will test the spiritual strength of the individual. Okay, so as I said, those four elements in our prayers are very critical, and that's what Lord Brahma is exactly doing that in his prayers. So if you go in further verses, you will see that what benediction he is asking, forgiveness. You know, this another component of the prayers. You know, the humility, gratitude, we should always be grateful to others. We should always respect others. Because when we start doing that, we will develop that quality. Because every Vaishnava, one way or other way, it doesn't matter how higher he is in his consciousness, they are at least doing some sort of services to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then we should respect that. It's not like, you know, I am doing this, I am doing this, I am doing this, and he is not doing anything, you know. That's not respect. Because if you start criticizing, then you have that tendency and that will let you fall down. Okay? So whatever services that we do, other devotees do, we should always respect. There may be a difference of opinion, those are externals, but the internal level, we should always have a respect. Because they are taking that time out and serving Lord, we should respect. Somebody do big services, somebody do small services, based on, you know, their strength, or the word strength Krishna has provided. According to the one's ability, Krishna gives that services. He provides services to somebody, they can do multiple taskings without a bead of sweat on their head, on their forehead. So somebody has a capacity of doing small services, that's okay. But at least one should always strive for more services. Okay? So Srila Prabhupada has mentioned very clearly that even like, you know, it doesn't matter how low you are. So Srila Prabhupada is one of his disciples, with folded hand he was asking, you know, please pray for me. And then disciple said, you know, what should I pray for you? I am so small. Then he said, it doesn't matter in devotional life. There is no small. So if you offer prayer with sincerity, integrity and humility, your prayers will do wonders. It doesn't matter how small you are. Okay? So that the disciple was astonished with that comments. That you know, he was encouraging that even I can do pray for others. So prayers are very important. Even you pray for others, you should bring these four elements in those prayers. I think I will end here. I have to go to the work, so if you have any suggestions, any questions, any comments, I can take. Yes.
I wanted to ask you, you brought out patience and also you explained in some other parts the need to take actions as we, you know, do our prayers, to not make it superficial. These are very important principles, and the prayers of Lord Brahma is there. You know, the next verse tomorrow is a famous verse that we should patiently wait for Krishna's mercy while, you know, going through our actions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, to understand patience from our perspective, sometimes, you know, obviously we pray to the Lord to overcome our condition to be able to, you know, progress in the path of devotional service, and the certain things that is very difficult to overcome, that it comes a sense that Rupa Goswami say, hoping against hope, you know, the hopelessness of overcoming your material condition. And indeed, you know, at least in my experience, there is some almost unsurmountable, you know, conditions that are there.
Yeah.
And so one have to be patient. However, where we recognize patience and being also
the limit,
ethical or you know, just giving in and, you know, that type of thing, and sometimes rationalizing, that's what it is.
No, if I understand your question, you are saying that what is the limit where we can go for that patience? After that, you know, So what is our limit? How long we can wait? Is that what you're asking?
Not necessarily that, you know. I mean, you can. I don't see it necessarily that you have to put a deadline
time
for patience.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be patient. Is to recognize that indeed you've been. You know, the idea of being patient, the Lo Rama Da Tate Nu Kampan verse, is that you carry on, and you're patiently waiting, but you carry on the process of devotional service. So the feeling of just being trying to find the world, you know, that just. What word would you say when you just take things, leave it as it is, you know? Sort of.
Yeah. So I
a little bit to your condition, you know? Huh? No. No, but yeah, something resigned to your condition.
I got your point, you know, practically if you look into different aspects, you know, sometimes, you know, if you take a certain task, that requires a lot of efforts and time and patience, but sometimes still the things are not working out, then rather than to wait for that particular thing infinitely, we should always think that what things I can change here so things can manifest. Otherwise, you know what happened, it will give rise to frustration, things doesn't work, you make your efforts, but sometimes things doesn't work, so then Krishna has given the intelligence that should I change the path in a different way, it might work or not, but we have to take that risk, we have to go out of the comfort zone, we take that risk, it will manifest in due course of time, but obviously, as I said, patience is required, but sometimes, you know, how long it can go, how long we have to wait, what capacity we have, that all depends, you know, how deep our sadhana is that, but sometimes it is frustrating, but sometimes, you know, if things doesn't work, you just drop the ball and just go, whatever you think is good for you. Sometimes, you know, it's a very peculiar situation, you know, it's pretty tricky that how you handle that. In my case, if I see that things doesn't work, I change plans. And then again, if this is not working, let me change plan. I cannot wait forever for that things to manifest. Because sometimes, you know, the life is too short. You cannot wait for 50 years to things to manifest. But Krishna has given intelligence. You bend your ways and try to use different ways to accomplish the same thing. It may be a different end result, but it will give you satisfaction. And that's very important. Otherwise, you know, there are a few things that happen, you know, I just waited for 15, 20 years, but I didn't change that path. And it worked out very well, so we have to use our intelligence, different things, or different knowledge, different things, so we can bend things around and move it. Otherwise, long patience is always, sometimes lead to frustrations. And then we will not perform the actions with that enthusiasm, you know, the enthusiasm also get lost and, you know, sometimes, you know what happened when Srila Prabhupada started the movement, there are only how many, just few devotees, couple of hippies, you know, sitting in front of him, but he was very patient, he was chastised by other Mayavadis, other peoples, but he was patient, okay. He knew that things will manifest. Okay, Krishna is testing. Sometimes Krishna is testing our patience. But it manifested. He was a Paramhans, you know. We are not Srila Prabhupada, but at least we follow those footsteps, you know. Sometimes it can manifest. Sometimes it doesn't manifest. That doesn't mean, you know, we fail. We just move on with the different things. So it's very tricky. For personally, on my level, when things doesn't work, I change the base. I don't wait for 10 years things to manifest, I just change because you don't have that much time or bandwidth to wait for certain things. Because, you know, maybe Krishna don't want us to go that path, that's what, you know, it gives the intelligence that you can just move around with the different objectives. Sometimes, you know, we take up some services because somebody asks, and we do it with patiently, but you know, at some point in time, we just burn out. So what do? We just do something else. So we should do something else which is more beneficial for us, for our upliftment in the spiritual life. We should not do something which is somebody has forced us to do, because there's no point, because you will not put your heart in it. If you put in heart in it, but you will not see very enthusiasm in that, doing it, you just change. I hope that I just touch your point, but no, it's very challenging. Any question?
He told about prayers, four types. One is forgiveness, another is glorify,
One is you offer prayers with humility and gratitude.
Humility, yeah.
And then the fourth one is that you pray for benediction. Okay.
Benediction.
And benediction is not to reward you with material opulences, but you know, they should reward you with the spiritual. Strengthen your spiritual life and devotion. So you go deeper into it.
Thank you.
Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were mentioning that we shouldn't just go on hearing, we should do some practical action manifest. In this particular verse, says gunatmanas, referring to Krishna's qualities that we should try to cultivate, and in the purport, I believe it says these qualities don't come to light unless we manifest them. And we see that these qualities, like humility, compassion, mercy, tolerance, forgiveness, they're actually only manifested when things don't go our way. Like, I always give an example: a rich teenager will never tell his father, "My dear father, I forgive you for giving me a Mercedes Benz for my birthday. I'll tolerate my $50 million inheritance." So my question is that regarding prayers of humility, Prabhupada mentions in chapter 13, verse 8 through 12 of the Gita, mentions the first quality, humility. And he says humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others.
Yeah.
But nobody ever prays like Queen Kunti, "I want everyone to dishonor me, treat me like crap." Because that's a good thing, because you're not going to really look for the honor, because you know you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
So how can we take a step forward towards Queen Kunti to offer these prayers? "I wish that things won't go out of my way so I won't become so egoistic," and then start killing devotees or killing their reputation, you know. And we may externally say, "I wish for humility," but then when we're tested, it really manifests what we really desire, generally speaking. So
yeah, so you know, Queen Kunti prayers, you know, so she was praying like more obstacles can come to them so as they can remember Krishna. So usually, you know, we don't pray for that, okay? Because the consciousness level of Kunti Maharani is very high. We don't imitate, but just follow the footsteps. Regarding your question regarding, you know, the humility that, you know, one should not ask or seek for any recognitions and all those things. You know, that comes only through, If you like to listen to me, it comes from service attitude. Once you are very sincere in your service attitude, then the first quality you can grow is humility. Okay? This is the one. Once you are, so that's what we say, you know, if you are not happy with other devotee or you have offended others, so what you do? You serve him. When you start serving him, you will cultivate that humility, and the tendency to offend that devotee will go away. Okay? So, to cultivate that humility to that level that, you know, I should not ask for any recognitions, or I should I should be tolerant like a tree, you know, I should be humble like a blade of grass. You have to deepen your service attitude. If you don't apply your teaching into actions, that humility will not get cultivated. You will not be that humble that, you know, whatever the obstacles, what are the calamities, what are the offenses you are getting on your head, once you are humble in that state, you will not get disturbed, not get agitated with that. But if you are agitated with small things, that means you need a lot of efforts in that direction to cultivate that humility and tolerance. If you cultivate humility, the other qualities will manifest in due course of time. So that required practice, required deepen the service attitude. It's mentioned everywhere in the Shastra. If you don't deepen your service attitude, that quality will not matter. It doesn't matter how many Shastras you read, how many hearings you did, but if you don't manifest that quality, if the service attitude, the humility will not come. So that is the principle. Okay. It's very easy that we can know we can easily talk about the different qualities, humility, but whether we are applying into actions or not, that's very important. Srila Prabhupada has not performed those actions, we are not sitting here today and hearing and worshipping the deities. He applied his teachings into actions. That's how the old ISKCON movement manifested. And then those teachings transform the heart of the devotees. And when you transform, these qualities will develop. If you look at the Mayavadis, impersonalists, different sadhus, they cannot cultivate humility or transform others because they are not transforming themselves. How they can transform others? Okay, did I answer the question? I think I learned here, I have to go. So it's Srila Prabhupada ki.